15 to 20 million.
Jedi,
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. And as always, I would like to ask you to go to your telephone, invite family members, friends to tune in right now here at 860 AM radio if they live in Philadelphia in the tri-state area. And you can listen to us anywhere in the USA or in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Today I have two very special people with me, and one is Nicholas Grock, a member of our panel, who is always here with many, many opinions. And we have our consumer advocate, Joseph Evangelist. And everybody wants to see Joe. Who is this guy? They've been hearing so much about him, but his picture is not up on the site. But we're going to try to remedy that today. Well, as I was preparing for the program today, I was looking back at some of the things that I was talking about over the last few months. And as I was preparing this week's Saturday American Workers commentary, I decided that no new taxes should be enacted until we reach a 5% unemployment rate. I thought the responses that I received from the last few weeks were very important, because they told me that people are very disturbed with no action from our political leaders. People are pleased that we're promoting jobs here in the USA and America's economy. And they always say to me, if we don't promote ourselves, who is going to promote us? Now, since we are on Polish American radio broadcast time, I have to add this. In the last few weeks, as I went around to various events, I had the privilege of meeting many of the people from the community. Last Thursday, I was celebrating the Polish Constitution Day event there in Chester, Pennsylvania. And then on Sunday, I was at Doylestown at Częstochowa there. And I have to say that it was good to hear from many of the people who listen in, many of the people who immigrated to this country or their sons and daughters of immigrants. And these people, as they came here over the years, came to work. They came to be part of the American dream. And that is what we're trying to restore. I also would like to take this opportunity before we begin to thank the faithful sponsors of the Polish American Radio program for supporting our American Workers Radio broadcasts as well. Together, we're going to do some positive things so that people will be able to enjoy life here in the USA, whether they're immigrants or they're born here and being, part of the American mosaic, because we can't continue with where we have been. It's time for us to talk about what our politicians did to us, what we have to have them do so that they don't continue to take us down the road to debt. America's in enormous debt, and that can't continue. But most of all, we're in a debt where there's no jobs, where we're losing skills, we're losing people of the future. We can't continue to sit back and all of a sudden say, well, that's just the way it is. It's not the way it is. It's hard for me to understand when people come in and offer something in writing, how poor they present things. I went to a parochial school. I was taught, the good nuns really taught penmanship and were very forceful so that you would have a good penmanship to be always understood. Today, people come in from all systems and they write so poorly. I have no idea what they're putting on the piece of paper. And if they come in to show me an application or something like that, when they're putting it in to the system, I say to myself, my God, what happened to complete sentences? And what happened to, knowing how to sell yourself? It seems that the kids are going through the school systems, but they're really not learning how to present themselves, and they're not learning the skill of communication nor any kind of job skill. So this is part of our problem. Today, I would like to talk about what are we suggesting as this panel to do to get more jobs back and stop any level of tax increase in the USA. What do you say, Joe? What would you do to stop taxes and have a reason to stop it?
Well, you have to define what you mean as taxes. The problem is what we're looking at is not taxing certain groups. Is ultimately, if you want to maintain the services that we have, you need to have tax revenue. You can't continue to cut it. I mean, the Bush tax cuts redistributed a boatload of money out of the revenue stream. I mean, and although they focus heavily on the wealthy 1%, there are huge amounts of refundable tax pieces that are a problem also. The problem is that tax expenditures, things that go through the tax system, are very large. You have the mortgage interest, which they say, oh, that we might want to get rid of that because that's heavily to the wealthy, people who own houses. But on the lower end of the scale, you have the earned income tax credit, which could be up to $5,000 a year. You have the adoption credit up to $13,000. And when you look at these, you see that there's lots of people who are in the percentage that they don't pay any taxes and they get back. There were two cases that got on the news that caught me is there were people who were actually in the foster system and they were fostering children. So they were receiving monthly checks to take care of these children. And these families, when President Obama made the adoption credit refundable, these families adopted kids that were 15, 16, 17. So they've been with the family for years. The family's been collecting money. And in those 2 years, these families collected between like $50,000 and $65,000 in tax refunds because they adopted these 16-year-old children. Because we adopted four kids, they got the $13,000. Now, the fact that the states were already paying them money to care for the children through the foster program, then they got a big tax refund, and one of them on CNN, the argument was, is the IRS isn't sending us our money fast enough because we want to buy a house. Now, this gentleman made $28,000 a year and was getting a $60,000 tax refund for adopting 15 to 18-year-olds.
A tax now, refund?
Refund. See, the problem...
So he was taxed, and then he...
No. Here's the thing you have to realize, is there's... lots of levels of taxes, and this is where Michael has the argument, is you get taxed at the federal level, you get taxed for Medicaid, Social Security, you get taxed at the state level, you get taxed at the consumption level. Now, let's just look at the federal tax system, which is the one that's the big killer, because you get taxed at a percentage, which is, you know, may top out at 35% if you're in that tax rate, but technically the 47% is. 47% of people fall into an area where the amount that they get back is equal to the amount that they pay to the federal government. And this is just the money, not Medicare, not Social Security, none of those. This is just what runs the federal government and its programs. Defense, Medicare, welfare, Social Security, etc. So when you look at it, let's just look at this one tax area, what the IRS manages. The IRS has all these tax incomes, so you have a revenue stream, so that you pay up to 35% of your income after deductions. What's happened with the Bush era and the Obama era tax refunds is we've made all these refundable. So let's say you're taxed and you pay your $2,000 in taxes, and you have two kids, so you pay $2,000 in federal taxes over the year. Then you sit down, and you get your $2,000 refund, or you have $2,000 that you've paid into the kitty over the year. Well, if you have kids, you can get up to $4,700. If you've adopted a child, you can get up to $13,000 for that kid. You can get deductions on your mortgage interest. You can get deductions for donations to charity. You can get a whole batch of itemized deductions that exist. Now, if you've paid $2,000 and your deductions are $10,000, the IRS sends you a check for $8,000.
Well, see, this is an insanity. And I'm glad you brought that up because
really?
Too much of this kind of stuff has been focused on the over the years. I really believe that it's time to set a scale No more taxes, first of all, until we get our unemployment down. But no more of these tax credits, tax breaks, because where are those dollars coming from? They're coming by us going into debt. We're going into this near $16 trillion in debt at this point. I'm suggesting that all those fancy loopholes be reconsidered, not just filtering through year after year where we're getting screwed to death. But if you don't pay in a certain amount, you should not be eligible to get that money back.
Well, you see, I actually think that it should be a different thing. Is the problem is the word refundable. Is this is how refundable credits is how companies like GE and others can get a tax refund. See, the issue is there should be a tax. I think there should be a tax floor. So for a corporation, if you make over a certain amount of money, it's 10%.
No matter what, you can't get lower than this.
Is the issue that I have is here's the area that's happening. Remember a couple of years ago, Bush had everybody got $400. Right. It was the cash back tax.
I remember
thing.
Less than 4 years ago, GE paid no income taxes in
well, GE rarely pays income taxes. They have an accounting department that's bigger than most small businesses. So the issue that you have to watch is we have a couple issues. Is we have a redistribution of wealth through the tax code. So you get money back through the earned income tax credit. You get a child care credit. There's discount if you're on welfare. There's discounts that you can get to get it. So to get your child care. So you pay $5 a day. The government reimburses the firm that's providing the care for other things. So we have people who are getting two things. Is once a year they get a huge tax refund, which is to spur the economy. Under the Bush regime, it was, you know, we'll distribute a lot of money. People will get big refunds in April, May, June. It'll spur the economy. But on the other side, we're trying to pump up the services. We want to provide more in food stamps. We want to provide more to education. So what we have here is we have the government saying, we're going to decrease the amount of money that comes in because we're going to give money from the top to the bottom, so there'll be less left in the kitty. So we have money coming in, we have money going out, and we're just increasing the money going out through the tax expenditures. And then the pool that's left in the middle is we're trying to increase welfare, Social Security,
and we're borrowing money to allow that.
And now we have an issue because somewhere in here you have people who are on the list twice. Is you have people, I know people who were on welfare. They were on every program known to man. And they were actually working hard to stay on it. They would actually go to different agencies, try and apply, see if they could get increases, et cetera.
What we call agency hogs.
Yes. So, but what was interesting was, is their plan was every year to get they knew that they were going to get $7,000 or $8,000 back at IRS time. Now, they had no income. They paid no income tax. There was no income coming in to these families. But they knew they were going to get their $7,000 because they had a couple kids. They were going to get this deduction. They were going to get that deduction. And they went out and they planned to spend that money.
Now, Joseph, the point of all this is our elected officials in Washington have worked themselves to death almost, finding every type of loophole to get us in debt, to put us in $15 trillion in debt, and to give out all this money. But how much time did they put into bringing jobs to America, making the climate here for businesses to be friendly, not be taxed to death? When people tell me the level of taxes that they have to pay, it almost doesn't pay. You almost understand why they don't want to be around. Why they would just rather bring in the products from other countries and sell it here. That pays for them to be a middleman or a store. But the problem we're seeing now is people are holding back on all spending. So there are loads of stores loaded with foreign products and no customers. We're going to be back in a few minutes. And then we have a caller on the line. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, one at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, and the other at 8510 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call attorney Michael Steinman's office at 215-564-1866. That's 215-564-1866. Or in the evening or weekends at area code 215-322-0235. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, always available to assist you in the English or Polish language. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807. Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. And I would like to note that if you would like to give us a call, we have a telephone number. You can get us directly at 215-922-5300. And it is also listed on our email that was sent out to tens of thousands of people this morning to let us know that we're here on 860 AM radio. As we were talking today, we were discussing all of the ways that our national leaders found to give money away to people to help them survive because there were not enough jobs to allow them to be employed and allowed them to be surviving on their own. And I know that it's very difficult for us to talk about our national leaders, but they really did neglect the long-term well-being of the American people for a long, long time. And in fact, I see in discussing with some of them when they're saying, you know, you're really talking against our work in the Senate and all, I said, well, too many of the people have gone along just to get along. And that is really what has killed our country. And we have to do something about it. I see that through our grassroots efforts, we are doing more to bring attention to what really needs to be done than is able to be discussed by a lot of our political leaders. Now, in order for us to make up for lost time, I'm suggesting once again that no new taxes be permitted here in the USA. And when I say that, I mean local, state, and federal taxes. I'd like to see our national elected leaders put in the time that they put in giving money away to people, getting businesses back here so that our people can be employed, be self-sufficient, and be able to be a positive part of America's economy. We went too far to the other side. It's unbelievable. This is becoming a welfare society, and it's simply not going to be able to be sustained. America's leaders also have to speak up, because we really need business opportunities, we need job skills to increase, and we need a business climate that's going to allow businesses to make a fair profit and not be forced out of existence, which is really what's been happening in the last 30 years. People found it more important to go elsewhere and make new jobs in the countries that were emerging, new democracies, new countries with new ideas to get their people into the workforce. But those ideas didn't happen at the hands of our elected officials. Nick, what do you have to add to that?
Well, I think that one of the things that kind of strikes a chord with me, when we talk about taxation, and Joe brought it up in his discussion earlier, you need it for services that are basic services that are essentially, as we've established them, rights of every citizen. You know, people need to be able to get around. We need to have transit. We need to have roads. We need to have basic social services that prevent people from falling through the cracks. But at the same time, you know, we need to find better ways of preventing people from seeking out these loopholes as their full-time job and receiving these credits and these benefits that, you know, weren't really earned in any way or aren't really justified in a situation where they're finding ways to perpetuate that condition.
When in working in social services, and about 9,700 people that have contacted our agency in any given year, I would say 1% of those people are looking to be part of any kind of a system. Most of those people we push on to someone else. The people that call us are either elder people, maybe they have a language barrier, maybe they have a disability, possibly people looking for jobs, but it's rare that we find people looking to game the system. And that's where maybe my thinking is different, because I'm not used to that mentality where give me. It's people that are willing to come forth and support themselves. They want a job, but finding a job here in the USA mm-hmm. is very, very tough.
Let's talk about finding jobs here in the USA. We had talked about how if we're going to discontinue any new taxation and we're going to focus on the taxes as they exist, or potentially modifying them in a way that reduces them for people that, say, provide jobs. You know, and there's always two trains of thought on the best way to spur the economy. Do you tax the rich or do you tax the middle class? There's money available within the middle class to provide Americans with services. There's money available within the upper class with corporations to provide those same services. Who do you hit the hardest? And that's going to be a big matter of debate in the upcoming election. I think that one of the things that both of the politicians that are going to be running for president in the next year should consider would be the possibility of discussing incentive-based tax break programs or tax reduction programs. Joe, you mentioned
for
that.
For bringing new jobs.
Exactly.
That's really the bottom line.
Or taking care of their people.
You know, it's very upsetting to know that we're going to have tons of kids getting out of high school and college in just a few weeks, and yet those boys and girls have no place to go for a job. People have been discussing on Sunday when I was at this event, people were saying to me, if you have any leads for a job, my son or my daughter is graduating from college and, you know, they've really been hunting around for the last 6 months, but it is difficult. And I'm saying to myself, how can this possibly be? How discouraging that is for a young person who is doing well in school to all of a sudden be put out into the job market and have no possibilities to go to. And why did that happen? Because our national political, I hate to keep saying that, but it's the truth. Our national political leaders did not focus on what will keep us solid here? What will make sure that those young people have jobs to go to? When I drive down the road, it drives me insane to see all these beautiful buildings that could be revitalized and put into offices, factories, manufacturing, you know, research and development. And all of that is being done abroad and just all of a sudden sent over here. And our people are going into stores, buying it up like it's nothing. Before we say anything more, we have a caller on the phone. Gary, welcome to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio.
Thank you, Michael. Jane Dobre. How you doing?
Jane Dobre.
All right. Well, you're right, Michael. I mean, I've finally got an interview for a job position after looking around. Our government, our officials, only worry about themselves and how much money they're going to get. And yet, it's been a long time that we have to stand up and say, you want a revolution? We have the revolutions. We have the occupiers that go through the streets of Philadelphia being arrested for standing up for the right, freedom of speech, freedom of the press.
Well, Gary, I agree with you there as far as the occupiers. Most of those people, now, I did go to the Occupy Philadelphia last October, and I went around and I spoke to some of the people. I would say 50% of the people were questionable and, you know, what their real intentions were. They were playing the bongo drums and things like that. But there were also a very large group of very sincere people who were coming there to see what this Occupy Philadelphia movement was all about. And as I went there, I was giving out my American Workers Need You pamphlets. And people came over and they said to me, not like, oh, how can I, you know, do all these weird things or whatever. They said, how can I contact you regarding jobs? Or is there a link on your site that directs me to jobs? There, you know, there are people that are very sincere. And those are people that are should be our main concern. They're our future. If we don't give them a future, possibilities, what are we supposed to do? We're getting to the point now in America, Gary, that many of the cities and states are going to have problems selling their bonds on the market because they're already over-bonded out. Nobody wants to buy these bonds anymore. It's getting to the point where what was good in the past, people are questioning it. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the bonds that are on the market are being backed by foreign countries. And that's also a very disturbing point.
China, right, is buying up a lot of debt in other countries, particularly in the States. I think that Brazil's doing the same thing. I'm not sure about that, but...
Well, there are areas, but the one thing that I would point out about the interesting thing, and this is something that Gary is... let me ask, how did you actually go about looking for a job? Did you go to the websites?
I've been on the website. Actually, I've gone through. I work for a hotel, which I'm not going to name. It's a corporate hotel. The owner owns a team, let's say. I worked for 10.5 years there, and then they called me in the office and said, you're fired for not looking at a lock. I mean, after 10 years of service at a hotel, doing doubles, triples, well-known hotel, 10 years, I go work, and then I get fired, and I've been out of work for 2 years. The unemployment ran out. I finally got an interview for a job tomorrow downtown at 3rd and Ray Street, a condo.
Congratulations.
Gary, I have a question.
Yes,
As you were being fired, was someone hired to replace you?
Sure, part-timer.
A part-timer. Mm. There's part of the problem.
So no benefits. They're cutting the cost there.
Right.
And no insurance for unemployment. Cutting the cost there.
That's exactly what's happening.
Not doing well is what I'm hearing now because they're talking about building another hotel right there at 12th and Market. But all the hotels being, they added all the new extensions to the convention center. The city gives the wealthy downtown a 10-year tax abatement without paying taxes. I thought taxes for all. Everybody has to pay taxes. The government gives the city a $50 million donation to turn West City Hall into an ice skating rink, which we really don't need. while there are poor people living on the streets of Philadelphia, all Philadelphia is burning down around the city.
Right across the street there are homeless guys that I know that I walk past in front of that, and then in front of that construction site.
They're building a brand new courtroom or justice center, two new courtrooms down Center City around 12th and Race and all area. You're building all these buildings while the rest of Philadelphia is falling down. The city gives away 10 years tax abatement, new city hall area. We don't need an ice skating rink. Come on, there are people living on the streets.
Have to recognize, Gary, and this is the piece, is I was downsized in 2005, right as everything was going. And, I mean, I asked one question when I was walked into the HR department, and I could tell by my boss when I walked in that I was dead meat.
Toast.
I mean, he looked more nervous than I did. And I walked into the HR piece, and I said to the woman, I said, is this a performance-based or is this a group-based piece or whatever else? And she said, there's 42 of you going today. There were 42 of us out of a department of 200 that were getting notified on this one day right before Thanksgiving. And it didn't bother me. I mean, I had done work before that I knew had eliminated jobs. One of my jobs is to streamline a lot of stuff, so it was not a surprise. But the interesting piece is when I went independent as a consultant, I did realize something is when we started to have like CareerLink, I went to CareerLink in 2006 and I went in and I showed the guy my resume and he said something kind of interesting to me. He said, here's your card, Joe. And he said, if you need to use a phone or a printer or a computer, you're welcome to come here, but we can't help you. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, based on your credentials, we can't help you.
You're overqualified.
There will never be a job that comes through here.
You're overqualified or underqualified. And the thing is that this country was a good country till after World War II, and it went downhill from World War II till now. I mean, we had factories here in Philadelphia, in Port Richmond, Briarsburg, Fishtown, Kensington. Everything closed up. All the factories I lived in Harrogate, the companies I worked for, all the factories I worked are no longer there. There are some, you know, you have now these corporations. It actually, corporations run the country. It's not the government. It's corporations that run this country.
And the media corporations in particular.
Greece, once the so-called euro dollar starts to dissolve, then it's going to hurt this country because of the euro. Europeaners had their own form of currency. And then it came into the euro dollar. Now that's taken a hit.
You know, Gary, last week during the broadcast, I mentioned a meeting with some international business people, and they said, well, America is going to be, you know, in need of 20, 24 million jobs. But we, as this new organization, BRIC, Brazil, India, China, and Russia, we're looking for 600 million jobs for our people. So I see what you're saying, and what you're saying is absolutely true. You remember the days when there were loads of places to work in every community. I'm suggesting that we have to get back to that. Gary, stay on the line. We'll be with you again. I also want to add one more thing to what we were saying, and that is the fact that we have to make sure that the things that we wear, the things that we do, how we do, where we go, what we are seeing, what we are purchasing, what we're riding in, what we're talking on in a phone, what we're watching on TV, has an American-made competitive product. If we can get to that point, we would get our skills back, we would get our people back to work, because we're a consumer service-based economy right now, and that has to change. Hold on, we'll be back in a few minutes.
After a long day of play, give your kids what they really want. Great-tasting snacks and meals from Giorgio. Giorgio's delicious mozzarella sticks, toasted American cheese sticks, and macaroni cheese triangles will satisfy even your pickiest eater. Since 1928, Giorgio has stood for quality and nutrition, so you can count on them for great taste and convenient snacks and appetizers. Look for these great Giorgio products and more in your grocer's freezer, and for recipe ideas, log on to GiorgioFoods.com.
The The office of Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving Philadelphia in the tri-state area, and you can listen to us from anywhere in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I just wanted to follow up with Gary, who is telling us a little bit about his situation. And I want to add this. On Sunday, people were asking me, Michael, we're listening to your programs, we read your commentaries, we hear you speaking. Can we start focusing on actual made in America products? And we had on our broadcast 2 weeks ago, Mark Adel from the American Made Store, and we're going to start doing that in the future. We're going to pick products. We're going to speak about where they're made and possibly even encourage those companies to maybe let us send people to them when they have employment opportunities. We're trying to extend our family and our ideas, maybe even ask some of the people to advertise so that we can expand our efforts in the future. I really have to say, I want to add here, that I'm really pleased with the Polish Americans who have responded to this broadcast. Now, this is for everybody that lives in America. We're a multicultural service, but I want to thank our business advertisers who are supporting our efforts. And I also want to welcome new advertisers. You can contact me. You can give me a call at 215-922-1700. We're going to be asking people to come forward to advertise in the future and help us to turn America's economy back to where it should be. One of the interesting questions that someone stopped me the other day and asked me is, Michael, I understood Joe Evangelist saying that 47% of Americans do not pay any taxes. Now, I said, well, I'm not really qualified to outline that, but I was going to ask him to do that on today's program. So, Joe, can you give us just a review of what that's all about?
Well, the argument over taxes is, it's one of these where everybody picks a niche and fights over it. Is 47, there's federal taxes, which is what the IRS collects from you. So that's your 1040. Then there's, in addition to that, there's also other federal programs that you pay into. You pay into Social Security, you pay your FICA tax, you pay the Medicare, whatever else goes into the system. But there is a federal tax amount that is taken out. In addition to that, there's a state tax, and then you have the sales tax, etc. And then on every service that you buy, whether it's telephone, et cetera, there's another menagerie of taxes that come in. But the issue that comes in with the 47% is particularly the federal tax to the IRS. And what it is this is the one where if you make less than $15,000, there's no tax. The first $15,000. And this is the gradated tax that you see. So then as it moves up, and this is what you get with your 1040, as it moves up, it goes up to 35%. This is where your capital gains of 15% comes in, where that tax break comes in. And this is where all of the refundable tax credits, the earned income tax credit, the child care credit, charity donations, the mortgage interest deduction, this is where all of those come in. Well, when you look at it, everyone files a tax refund on April 15th. And of everybody who files a refund, 47% of the people either get zero tax or they get a refund back. So basically what it means is these are people who are either have no tax due, they earned under $15,000, mm-hmm. or the amount that they're getting back is more than the amount that they paid during the year. So if a person made $20,000 and paid $900 in taxes and had a couple kids and got $4,000, so they get a $4,000 tax refund based on the earned income tax credit, as an example. They're counted among the 47%.
Now, I have a question. When you say earned income tax of $44,000, would they have earned and paid in $4,000?
No, they may have paid $800 in. So what happens is
so that is where the debt, the national debt continues to rise.
This is where I see the problem.
It's free money.
It is. Well, it's actually it's a redistribution of wealth, and it's why there's such a fight over this. Is the justification is by giving more money out, we're allowing people to pay taxes and purchase other goods. The problem is the tax code should be a revenue stream, not an expenditure stream. So here's what's happening is the IRS is taking money in that's supposed to pay for the federal government and all the money that goes to states and everything else. And then what they're doing is they're making it actually a way to send money out. So and the state of Pennsylvania does the same thing. 2 years ago, the state of Pennsylvania actually wasn't able to process my refund until September. They actually paid me $60 in interest, and I had to pay taxes the following year on the interest because they sent me a letter and said, the state doesn't have enough money to process your tax return. And so they said, you know, we will send it to you and we will be paying you X amount of interest per month. But the problem that you have with this is why the tax code is so hard to slice out, because there's tons of these in there, you know, and we have their 2 years, like the adoption credit was for 2 years. Last year they had the business piece where you could do capital expenditures, section 179. So basically what it was is you buy a piece of equipment that has a life expectancy of 5 years. Let's say a car, a truck for your business. So you buy the vehicle and you can take, let's say it's a $20,000 vehicle, you can take $4,000 a year deduction on it over the life of the product.
As a depreciation.
What section 179 was is you could take up to $500,000 in the first year. So what would happen is you'd spend $20,000, you deduct $20,000 immediately, mm-hmm. you'd pay no, you wouldn't have the deduction in the future, but you'd have no, it would come off right now.
And so time value of money.
Right.
Get it
so
now.
What happens is you get the deduction now. What that does is it decreases the revenue stream. But we're adding these refundable credits on and we're increasing the expenditures. So what we've done is we've given credits on the front end, which means that there's less tax coming in from the companies and people. And we've given refundable credits on the back end, which means that we're giving more money away
than you collected.
Now you mentioned
a word that really stuck in my mind. Redistribution of wealth. But when you really think of it, it's not redistribution of wealth. We are borrowing money to make that redistribution possible. So that's, you know, this is where all this with our political leaders has to come to some kind of a head.
Well,
you
actually, mentioned we're not borrowing money for the redistribution of wealth.
But by not having it on hand, we're then able to borrow money for other things.
What's happening is the pool in the center, we have the input, the output and the think of it as a pool or a collector where you're collecting water. You have money coming in, which is the tax revenues. You have this big pool, runoff pool, like they use for aquifers or water that you use as an input, and there's stuff coming back out. Well, what happens is we're draining that piece in the center, and then we say, well, you know, we have expenditures and we have to do it, and we borrow to fill it back up.
It should be a dollar in, dollar out situation. And that's why I'm calling for this tax. No tax permitted, period, until our employment is back down to 5. I know that some of the national leaders are not pleased with those kinds of ideas. They say, oh, you're putting ideas into people's minds that are not going to happen. Well, first of all, why shouldn't our unemployment rate be down to 5%?
Well, it depends. You have to
and why should people be taxed now when they're not making any income? There's no increase. It's all just finding new scheming ways to tax us to death.
Michael, well, can I say something?
Yes, Gary.
Go for it.
Okay, listen, I understand what yours are saying, and the fact is that how can our governor, Tom Cormann, cut schools in Philadelphia, doesn't like Philadelphia because it's a Democratic city, yeah, he's a Republican. One nation under God. I don't care what party we are, Democrat or Republicans. We're Americans. Stop the bickering with the party system, or there will be a revolution. How can corporations get away with it, take everything abroad after the Vietnam War, everything went to China, and now everything's coming back from China. They're making things here. We used to make clothing here in the South. Non-union states had the cotton industry, made your jeans, made your shoes. Everything was made here in this country. After Vietnam, it all went across because the politicians got greedy, took everything in their pockets. Tom Cormann is giving tax breaks to these sailing industries. We have so-called, I thought this, the casinos were supposed to go into the city coffers. That's what these casinos, they're building casinos all over Philadelphia and outside of Philly. Wasn't that supposed to go to the state? Wasn't that supposed to be distributed from the state into the
That was
the city?
Supposed to go for property tax.
Property tax. Well, you know what? You got people who city hall. Every time there's a problem, you can't get a hold of city hall. I've been fighting up here. I live in Upper Roxborough, Andorra, about a traffic camera light that people come down Henry Avenue at a high rate of speed, and I get to run around. I finally got somebody from Curtis Jones' office and says, yeah, I live on the street. His assistant lives right on Henry Avenue. He says, I see. Then do something. You want a politician's kid killed? Then that's when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gary,
the corporations got to stop this. We're Americans. We built this country. Our ancestors came from Europe and built this country. Then everything, all your football events, everything, all your stadiums are now all in your corporation names.
Well, yeah, but the issue, Gary, is, and I'm going to say, is I think that your anger at Corbett is a little misplaced, and I'll give you a couple of reasons for this. First, the shale mining issue is what they're giving him as tax credits is what is offsetting the revenue that they're getting from the workers. One of the arguments that was made to justify the tax credits is if you want to drill for shale oil, you can drill in Pennsylvania, you can drill in New York, you can drill in Ohio. The question is how do you get them to stay here? And the argument that you make is what you want to do is if they hire 1,000 people and 1,000 people pay $1 a piece and there's $1,000 in new state taxes paid, you can offer $1,000 or $900 for them to be here because it's revenue neutral. The problem that Corbett and Christie and Jersey, et cetera, have is there's a misrepresentation. I had a discussion last week, and there was somebody who was complaining, you know, these principals at the school district of Philadelphia do not make enough money. It's so terrible. The children are so bad,
oh,
et cetera.
Please.
So then I went to my son goes to public school here. I go to the school's presentation on next year's budget, and I look online at the budget, and here's what I see in the school's budget for one school. There are three principal/assistant principals, $160,000 each. There are close to 50 teachers budgeted at $91,000 each. There are aides. There's a woman in there who's budgeted for 2 days a week at $27,000 for working 2 days a week. My issue is where is this money going? I mean, I would cut them off in a heartbeat because when you look at this, they say, oh, well, you know, we're underpaid. $91,000 a year for the for a senior level teacher. I mean, how many jobs in Philadelphia pay $91,000 a year?
Well, that is why I'm saying that the media has to start asking questions, not just be there at these events covering. They have to ask questions, but I want to see all those questions answered on TV, online, and they should be, you know, be able to let the people know dollar in, dollar out, where the money is going. Every year it seems that we need $50 million, $70 million. But it's not justified. Why are their salaries going up in such a terrible recession? Everyone should sacrifice.
There's an even bigger one is what we paid the Arlene Ackerman to break her contract
could have funded a school for
300 students
for a
year.
She went on there and she said, I need this extra income on unemployment when she lived out in Tucson, Arizona. And, you know, and then they said, no. I mean, look at the housing authority with the controversy with the housing authority.
Yeah, who is given a golden parachute for coming in to be an administrator of a school? It doesn't make sense.
They're closing schools. All these schools are closing. Mm-hmm. Look at the Catholic schools. Look at the Catholic churches. Look at the public schools. What is it? They want you to go to what they call private schools now, or if you can't afford the vouchers of private schools, what are you going to be taught at home? Is this what they want you to kill, get rid of all public schooling because it's so high up, the teachers are making a lot of money? Yeah, but they're closing Catholic schools, Catholic churches. I mean, I went to North Catholic. That's closed up. Cardinal Doherty's closed up. All these high schools that I live in Manioc, they're closing Polish churches up here. All the churches. There are no churches. My daughter went to St. Bridges in East Falls 2 years ago, and now that's closing up. And then they got to put these kids and spread these kids out through the city.
Yeah, well, what happened, for example, St. William's in the Northeast is going to close its school. But here's the interesting thing is about 10 years ago, St. William's, they got a new pastor, and they had overexpanded under the previous pastor. He came from a wealthy family. They overextended. But the interesting piece is they consolidated a piece in, and what he turned around and he said from the pulpit was, these families have never paid anything into the church. So the families who are here have to ante up to help them. Mm-hmm. And the problem that had happened is, basically what he said is the 20% of you that have been here before now have to ante up to pay for the other 80%. And the new pastor, when they came in, he said, we can't continue to keep having this aging population pay for children because the families have never paid anything. We're done. We're closing. We're not even appealing.
Speaking about that, that is also another very tough issue that people say to me on a regular basis. I paid taxes when my children were going to school. Why am I at 70 and 80 years old continuing to pay?
It's sometimes
a touchy issue, but something we're going to have to discuss. Gary, thanks for calling in. We're going to pause for a few messages and we'll be back. The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For your weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. And by Steam My Carpets, which serves commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at 1-877-778-3263 or visit steammycarpets.com. The law firm of Dominik Rostowski is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostowski Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominik Rostowski on the internet at rostowski.com. Dominic Rostovsky, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language.
The office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
We're back here at American Workers Radio, our Wednesday edition, and we certainly had some lively conversations today, and it shows one thing, that people want to stand up for change here in the USA. They want to see more good things happening instead of all the negativity that's been happening around us. One of the things that I know for sure in speaking with some of our listeners is that if there were more jobs in the USA, I believe, as along with them, that crime would be down, neighborhoods would be better, and we would have more children in school happy, and more families would stick together. It would be great. Nick, you wanted to mention something.
Yeah, Michael, one of the things that I'd like to mention in closing is that, you know, here we sit badgering our politicians, and particularly at the national level, because those are the ones that make the policies that affect the majority of Americans. And I think that one of the things that we need to do, and I think that one of the things that Larkin recommended last week and that you've been talking about as well with us off the air, is that we should welcome in some politicians from the local community. In particular, I know that Larkin knows David O, and I would really enjoy being able to sit down and talk with him, because from what Larkin says, there's a man that recognizes that he represents a constituency, unlike the national level leaders. The national level leaders are there to stay there. They want to stay there for 40 years, become a senior level, you know, become the whip, become the whoever it would be that would be running the show there, the senior level representative. And in all honesty, you know, how can a person stay connected to their constituency when they are reelected and reelected and reelected with the money that they have?
Right. Some of the political people, quite frankly, they hide behind their staffs. They're always so busy.
Well, politics wasn't a career when this country was founded. Texas is the only one that actually has like a state senate that I believe has a state senate that functions. It's part-time. They come in, they vote on what it is, and they go back out.
I think that's not a bad idea for people to come in, show what they have to offer, make a statement, make a stand, and then move forward and let the next guy come in.
And have to be a citizen of the states rather than a celebrity of the states.
Well, when you hear all these people are retiring after all this and they're getting their full salary and medical benefits for life and all, that should not be what an elected official's all about. I think I'd like to outline a little bit of that in the future. I'd like to take an elected official and put them up on the internet site and just follow their life to see when they entered politics, when they did something, to change in their life, if they were going to get out of politics, which doesn't happen in most cases. Mm-hmm. But what if they retired tomorrow, what would be their benefits? It's almost like a job. It's a career. Once you get in, you don't want to get out. But once you're there, you really don't have that much to offer in many cases. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. David Zenia. See you on Saturday at 11:00.